circumstances.
But what about that soldier face down in the mud?
With rose-colored glasses, you can't see the blood.
She was kind of fragile and acceptable. Prognosis, there was lectopharmacologist.
Does life have you down? Do you
suffer from... The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
Then it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Oh, yeah, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It's Casual Friday. It's the day before the Boise State Bowl game. It is December 21st, 2012. The Mayan apocalypse has come and gone, and we're still here. Yay, we all lived through it. Welcome to the show. It's got to be 420 somewhere. And we're going to have a really, really good show here. This is our last show, our last live show of 2012. We're taking the Festivus holiday break coming up for the next 2 weeks, and we'll be coming back on January, I guess it's the 7th is the first day that we'll be back on the air. Yeah, January 7th, we'll be back on the air. And oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. January 7th, we'll be back on the air, and we're going to have all sorts of new surprises. That's right. We are going to be coming back as 420radio.org. The network is back, people. We're going to be 420, 24/7, 365. More details to come, but I've been taking a look at the development site, and it looks excellent. On today's show, we're going to take a look at the top five biggest marijuana stories of 2012. We got some video from The Late Show with David Letterman, where Seth Rogen teaches David Letterman all about Primo Weed. But most importantly, we've got all sorts of fun guests in the studio today. First of all, Brian the Red's hanging out over here on his microphone as usual.
Hey, Russ. How you doing?
But you can see over there on the other microphones, we've got Ganja John hanging out back in the studio.
I'm trying to hide my bald spot. I forgot to wear a hat. It's
That's
been a
right.
while.
We've got to get the bald spot.
Here.
Yeah.
And so then we got Wiz Calico over there on another microphone.
Hello.
Let's see, but that one, I haven't done that one for a while. I have to.
Yeah, does the same
which
work?
Mic are you on? There you are. You're on
is
that
this
microphone.
One? Does this one work?
That should work. You got a microphone?
Hello, everybody.
What happened to your microphone? Is that got a green cord plugged into it? Not needs the green cord. Go find the green cord.
Here's the green
that
cord.
In there. It got removed, but we'll get Wiz Calico on the mic here in just a second. Also, we've got our marijuana headlines coming up, all sorts of stories in the news to cover today, including a very interesting story, a study coming out that's reported in Huffington Post on marijuana use versus alcohol use on the developing teenage brain. We've got a story out of the New York Times that has the big news that the Lieutenant Governor of California is calling for marijuana legalization. We've got an Arizona appeals court order that is going to allow the first dispensary in the Phoenix area to open, and a DUI deep case out of Lansing, Michigan that proves there's no such thing as an automatic DUI. All that and more coming up on the Russ Belleville Show. Stick around, everybody.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show.
the voice of the marijuana nation.
A Festivus for
the law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect, and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Warning, it's taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser. Like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Kim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper Man? If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to Reaper Man.
Now it's time for our marijuana headlines for today, December 21st, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. Teen marijuana use may show no effect on brain tissue, unlike alcohol, study finds. This from HuffingtonPost.com. A teen who consumes alcohol is likely to have reduced brain tissue health, but a teen who uses marijuana is not, according to a new study. Researchers scanned the brains of 92 adolescents ages 16 to 20 before and after an 18-month period. During that year and a half, half of the teens, who already had extensive alcohol and marijuana use histories, continued to use marijuana and alcohol in varying amounts. The other half abstained or kept consumption minimal, as they had throughout adolescence. The before and after brain scans of teens consuming five or more drinks at least twice a week showed reduced white matter brain tissue, study co-author Susan Tapert, neuroscientist of University of California, San Diego, says. This may mean declines in memory, attention, and decision-making into later adolescence and adulthood, she said. However, the brain scans of teens using marijuana an average of 9 times a week during the 18 months showed no change in brain tissue health. The researchers did not test performance. They only looked at brain scans. The research was conducted by scientists at University of Colorado, California, San Diego, and is scheduled to be published in the April issue of the journal Alcoholism, Clinical and Experimental Research. From the New York Times, marijuana is, as a practical matter, already legal in much of California. No matter that its recreational use remains technically against the law, marijuana has, in many parts of this state, become the equivalent of a beer in the paper bag on the streets of Greenwich Village. The Lieutenant Governor, Gavin Newsom, said, quote, "It's shocking from my perspective the number of people that we all know who are recreational marijuana users. These are incredibly upstanding citizens, leaders in our community, and exceptional people. Increasingly, people are willing to share how they use it and not be ashamed of it." John Burton, the state Democratic chairman, said he recalled an era when the drug was stigmatized under tough anti-drug laws. He called the changes in thinking toward marijuana one of the two most striking shifts in public attitude he has seen in 40 years, the other being gay rights. Quote, "I can remember when your second conviction of having a single marijuana cigarette would get you 2 to 20 in San Quentin," end quote. Mr. Newsom, who said he does not smoke marijuana himself, said that the ubiquity of the drug had led him to believe that laws against it were counterproductive and archaic. He supports its legalization, a notable position for a Democrat widely considered one of the leading contenders to be the next governor. Quote, "These laws just don't make sense anymore," he said. "It's time for politicians to come out of the closet on this," end quote. An Arizona court denies request for a marijuana stay order from YahooNews.com. Arizona appellate judges refused Thursday to allow Maricopa County to deny zoning clearance for a medical marijuana dispensary after questioning the county's claim that its employees could face federal prosecution. Lawyers for the county then said it would not file another appeal of the trial judge's order to provide the clearance. The brief ruling by a three-judge Court of Appeals panel only dealt with the zoning issue, and it did not explain the decision made after the judges questioned whether county workers truly face federal prosecution if clearance is approved and the shop opens. Superior Court Judge Michael Gordon's December 4th ruling said federal drug law doesn't block the state's medical marijuana statute, and the county must provide zoning clearance. Deputy County Attorney Tom Liddy said county employees fear they could be prosecuted for aiding and abetting marijuana trafficking that is illegal under federal drug laws. ACLU Attorney Kelly Flood said no government employees have been prosecuted for helping administer medical marijuana programs. From the LansingStateJournal.com, an Ingham judge tosses police blood testing evidence in a marijuana case. He's ruled to suppress evidence against an Ohio man accused of driving under the influence, saying Michigan State Police reached an unsound conclusion in finding trace amounts of marijuana in the man's blood. In a ruling issued December 10th, the District Judge Thomas Boyd said test results by a state police officer cast doubt on whether John Paul Goodburn of Columbus had any marijuana in his body when he was pulled over on May 4th, following a traffic accident on Interstate 96. Boyd ruled prosecutors could not use the blood evidence against Goodburn, who faces a misdemeanor charge of operating a vehicle with the presence of a controlled substance. Under Michigan law, it is illegal to drive in Michigan with any amount of marijuana in one's blood. And that's your marijuana headlines for Friday, December 21st, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we take a look behind the headlines at the top five biggest marijuana stories of 2012. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while. Share.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines here, taking a look at the top five biggest marijuana stories of 2012. This concludes our week-long look at the top five of 2012. We have the Monday top five stupid prohibition stories. Tuesday was the top five reefer madness stories. Wednesday, we had the top five cannabis science stories. And yesterday, my personal top five marijuana moments. You can get the write-up of all of those at RadicalRust.com, available only for VIP members. So if you're not seeing those posts, you're not logged in. Log in or get your account today, and you can get all sorts of special stuff there at RadicalRust.com. So today, we start with the top five biggest marijuana stories of 2012. Number five, Operation Fast and Furious guns kill more victims than all U.S. mass shooters combined.
This from the U.S. House Committee on Government Oversight and Reform. In Operation Fast and Furious, agents failed to interdict firearms destined for Mexican drug cartels, while hoping the guns, once recovered at crime scenes in Mexico, would lead them to higher-ranking cartel officials. Guns from the Reckless Justice Department program, however, contributed to the deaths of U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry and an unknown number of Mexican citizens. It also created an ongoing public safety hazard on both sides of the border. Now, in case you didn't follow this much, this was a program where our officials would tell law-abiding gun dealers on the southern border to sell semi-automatic weapons to people that the dealers themselves suspected or knew were straw purchasers. That's, you know, somebody who can legally buy a gun who's then going to give it to somebody who cannot legally buy a gun. Many of the dealers complained, but they went along with the orders of federal officials. The idea was that they'd trace these guns back to the big fish, but in reality, about 2,000 guns were lost without a trace, turning up even as recently as 2 days ago in a violent murder in Sinaloa. While we mourn at least 88 dead in the U.S. from mass shootings in 2012, there were over 10,000 dead in Mexico from drug war shootings in 2012. Number four, biggest story of 2012 in the marijuana world, the continuing Obama administration medical marijuana crackdown while drug cartel bankers roam free. Despite promises to the contrary, when running for his first term, President Obama's Drug Enforcement Agency continues its raids on medical marijuana, having raided more dispensaries in one term than George W. Bush accomplished in two. Obama's drug warriors also perfected less public relations damaging tactics, such as sending asset forfeiture threats to dispensary landlords, pressing IRS 280E anti-drug kingpin tax codes against dispensaries, and pressuring banks and merchant services to refuse business from dispensaries. No action better demonstrated the administration's true concern than U.S. Attorney Melinda Hagg's continued jihad against Harborside Health Center. In filing the asset forfeiture against the world's largest and best-run medical marijuana dispensary, Hagg wrote, quote, "The larger the operation, the greater the likelihood that there will be abuse of the state's medical marijuana laws and marijuana in the hands of individuals who do not have a demonstrated medical need," end quote. Obama's Department of Justice proved one thing in 2012. If you're a drug cartel banker laundering $9 billion for terrorists, you're too big to be a criminal. But if you distribute medical marijuana, you're too big to be legal. Wrong whoosh. Our number three, top five marijuana story of 2012. Marijuana use rocks the Olympics, but drunk athletes are encouraged. London's 2012 Olympics featured a few stories that forced the public to recognize that Michael Phelps is not the only Olympian out there smoking pot. The number one female 72-kilogram wrestler Stephanie Lee was forced off the team when her drug test came up positive for marijuana. She spoke with us on our 30th episode about the incident. U.S. judoka Nick DiPapolo was forced to vacate his seventh-place finish when he tested positive for pot as well. In an ESPN interview, basketballer Grant Hill told how nobody on Team USA wanted to be the high scorer and thus subject themselves to the required after-game drug test. Meanwhile, there were numerous reports of incidents involving Olympians overdosing on alcohol and causing all sorts of mayhem. This behavior wasn't just tolerated, it was condoned by officials and celebrated openly during the ceremonies by athletes. Because the message we want to send to the children is get high on the right drugs, I suppose. Our number two top story for 2012. Marijuana arrests decrease 11%, almost 96,000 fewer arrests. That's right. Looking at the Uniform Crime Report numbers for 2011, there were 757,000 arrests for marijuana in 2011, which was an 11% drop from the prior year. This meant almost 96,000 fewer Americans got arrests for pot, the greatest overall one-year drop in the drug war. The 11% drop is also representative of Barack Obama's entire first term, the greatest one-term drop in 20 years, bested only by, and you won't believe it, the 13% decline in marijuana arrests during George H.W. Bush's term. And of course, the number one story in marijuana should not be any surprise. Marijuana election night 2012, legalization in two states and medical marijuana in the 18th. But it was also the story of Massachusetts or of Arkansas becoming the first southern state to vote for medical marijuana that surprisingly only narrowly lost. It was a story of a continuing crackdown in Montana on medical marijuana. And it was a story of Oregon activists fighting against all possible odds and at the last minute kicking up the support for legalization in Oregon far above what it had been polling before the election. All in all, marijuana legalization is not just the biggest story of 2012. It's the biggest story in the entire history of this drug war. Oh my God, that sound means it's time to take a break, and there's a cannabis cup winner in the room.
What?
Holy crap.
Gary. Is that me?
I don't know that we'll make it past this break.
Let's take some dabs, guys.
Dab. Woo. We're dabbing for the apocalypse.
I'm down.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, I'm cannabis.
Non-alcohol.
Did you know that I can be used to treat a number of physical and psychological conditions like depression, Huntington's disease, and osteosclerosis?
Your mother's an osteoporosis.
I can also be used to help those who are abusing our friend over here.
You know what the problem is with you? You think you're better than everybody else. Hey, look at me, I'm weed.
Okay, I actually do prefer to be called cannabis. I'm illegal.
I'm illegal. Because weed makes you stupid.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Mindy the Moocher.
Electric Tuesday. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter. Call me the ganja planter.
Groovin' Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday.
Something like to hit the ball.
Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party. The last seven major party candidates to run for president, three of the last seven vice presidential candidates, and the last three presidents have all smoked pot. Marijuana, the gateway drug to the White House. This is the Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, everybody. All this week and last, we have been bringing you the best toker tunes from our holiday collection, and today is no different. Herb Thrasher is out in Alabama at the moment, having a family Christmas time down there down south, so I get to take care of the Rockin' Friday for today. We're going to go back to Ian Lloyd, and this is kind of apropos as Ganja John's in the room here.
I love this guy.
He's Ganja John, big comedy nerd, and of course Louis C.K. got to be the biggest comedian.
Who was in Seattle yesterday?
Louis was in Seattle. Oh wow, Louis C.K. was in Seattle yesterday, and if you watch Louis' show, you know the theme is Louis, 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 right? That's the old Louie Louie song, and Brother Louie, and that was done by Ian Lloyd when he was with the group called The Rascals. Ian still has a solo career that he's doing, and last year he sent me this song for Christmas, and he's been a guest on the show. We've played a lot of his debut stuff before, and we're looking forward to new stuff as soon as he gets into the studio. So we're going to play a little bit of Ian Lloyd, Everybody's Happy, because it's Christmas time, and while we do that, we'll be hanging out here with Ganja John and Wiz Coleco and enjoying ourselves a dabby good Christmas, so, or Festivus, I suppose.
Hanukkah.
That could be one of the...
Hash oil burned for 8 days. Eight days. It was only supposed to burn for one night. 8 days.
The nail was
hot the whole time.
The Hanukkah hash miracle?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I was going to say the Festivus feats of strength is how strong a dab can you take.
How I actually did kind of have a hash, like a hash... emergency during Hanukkah.
Yeah.
I actually did. I thought I was going to run out of oil, and it just kept coming. No joke. It comes out of nowhere. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. It's a good world we live in, and we hope to share this with everybody else out there. We are going, like I said, we're going to take legalization here from the West and spread it eastward. So hang tight. Cascadia concentrates are coming. We'll get them to you. And now here's some Ian Lloyd. Everybody's happy because it's Christmas time.
Happy, 'cause it's Christmas time, singing songs, drinking wine, and feeling fine. There's music in the air, love is everywhere. Falling snow and mistletoe, it's cold outside. Feel the joy of keeping warm next to the fire.
Joey has in his room.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
Okay, get up.
This is a bong. Oh my God.
It's called the bong?
I think so.
My grandson would know.
B-O-N-G, bong.
And that's a form of marijuana?
Bit of bing, bit of bong. Now, where do you smoke from here? See, I just thought you go like, no, I thought you, and no, he goes, you go like this. And then you suck it out. That's how it happens. Is that what you do?
And then I go,
you suck it out.
Legalize me. Don't criticize.
I'm just overjoyed. I've been cannabis activist for 40 years.
We are turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way. It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Woo! Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
Some of them call it marijuana. Never mind. Legalize it.
The world of entertainment includes many actors, musicians, athletes, and celebrities who find their way into the world of weed. The Russ Belleville Show catches you up with the latest with Steve Bloom and the CelebStoner.com Entertainment Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We don't have Steve Bloom today, actually, because, of course, it's holiday season, so he's on break like a lot of folks are. But I did have something from the world of entertainment I wanted to show that was just too good to pass up. Seth Rogen is out on the tours, you know, of all the shows, promoting his new movie that he has out with Barbara Streisand. It's kind of a buddy road trip movie with Barbara Streisand playing his mom. And, of course, Seth Rogen is also known in our community as being quite the weed head, the pot connoisseur, if you will. So it's been interesting. David Letterman, for the past two or three or four different guests that I've tuned in, he's tried to slip in something about weed. He's been talking and asking a lot about weed. And in this one, boy, I couldn't believe how far into this they went. So we're just going to play that for you. Enjoy.
Before we show the clip, I want to know a little bit about the weed.
Yes.
Because
I'm your guy.
Yeah. They've legalized weed in Washington. And also in Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was close to moving to Washington when I heard that. Yeah.
Now, if I were to smoke some of the weed now that you buy in Colorado.
Yeah.
Say you and I go into a weed store and we say, Seth and I would like a joint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They would know.
Yeah, they would know. But would it be so awful powerful I'd take one hit and you'd have to call the EMT?
Probably, yeah.
Now, is that what you're looking for?
That's what I want. I go, give me the best you got. I want to completely numb my brain.
Yeah.
No,
But how can you do anything when you're that far looped?
I don't know. It just kind of happens sometimes.
Now, are you weeded stone now?
Not very, no. I'm never really at zero, I don't think, just because there's a cumulative effect that it just kind of,
yeah.
It's probably in there somewhere,
right.
I would imagine, yeah.
So you have no problem coming out here on a TV show after smoking the weed. Yeah, that's fine. Now, see, I would have to come out on a gurney. Because I can remember when I was years and years and years ago.
When's the last time you smoked
weed? Oh, God, it's been 30 years. When I was in California. And it was like somebody, Robin Williams said, it's like, oh, I'm hungry. And that was it.
It's not like that now.
It's not like that now. But what is it like?
I have to warn people. I'm used to it, but I've actually like had to start warning people at parties. Like, it's really strong because I've seen a lot of people like go home early and then I feel bad for them, honestly, because it's.
What happens to them when they don't know that it's going to be that strong?
I don't know. You should. They kind of just stop talking, and I assume they are thrust in a deep mental conundrum, and they some people just lock themselves in the bathroom. I don't know what they're doing in there, honestly.
But it can be frightening because you feel like, oh no, I'm no longer in control of my faculties.
And they think it might never end.
Yeah.
Which I'm looking for again. That's
Well, but now let's just say for recreational purposes,
yes.
We go into the weed store.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dave. This is my friend Seth. We'd like a joint. And you would say, you know, like, I'd like a double or whatever you say.
You make it a double.
And then would you smoke the entire joint while you were there?
They don't let you smoke it there. You got to take it home.
Right, so you go out in the parking lot.
No, they don't like that either. They kind of want you to.
Well, where do you go smoke the damn thing?
At your home. You go to your home.
Okay, you take it home.
Yeah.
You sit down.
Yeah.
And then you light up the joint. You smoke the whole thing right there.
Sometimes it depends on how many video games I'm about to play.
Now you can actually play video games with that kind of fog in your brain.
I think my generation is very accustomed to being stoned and playing video games.
Good news for all of us. The future of America, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Well,
this went in a whole different direction than I thought.
I don't know. Is it expensive? Is marijuana expensive now?
It depends. It ranges on a joint like between 10 and like 30 bucks, depending on your quality that you're achieving.
For a joint, 10
yeah,
or 30 bucks.
For a joint.
And if you were going to buy a lid.
You'd first need a time machine.
That's pretty good. You may be impaired, but you're pretty funny.
Thank you. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
That's what it'll say on my tombstone.
Now, did Barbara, did you and Barbara share some weed?
No, she wouldn't smoke weed with me. She.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. I tried.
Yeah.
I did try, but yeah, she wouldn't do it. I don't think she would have functioned well on it, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's kind of an over-functioner as it is. Yeah.
Okay, I have one more weed question.
Go for it, man.
Where is the I like to say primo weed.
Yeah.
Where do we get the primo weed these days?
And I'm not just saying this because I'm from there, but Vancouver, British Columbia
Vancouver,
is the home
gentlemen.
Of the
Vancouver.
No, they're clapping for that.
Yeah. Chamber of Commerce, take that and run
exactly.
with it. That one's on the house.
There exactly. you go. So that's a Late Show with David Letterman.
As a confirmed Cascadian, I'm going to go with that answer of Vancouver, B.C.
Vancouver, B.C.?
I like that answer.
Yeah, it's a good answer. You can't go wrong with B.C., bud.
Hey, it's where the Beasters come from, but there's some gold in there. Hey, it's Cascadian. He didn't say California, so I don't care.
That's right.
If it's grown properly and it's sensey, you know, then yeah.
That's
you know,
right.
Even the Beasters is...
We got it right. We got it good up here in the PAC Northwest, that's for sure.
Yes.
You range anywhere from Medford area all the way up to BC. Definitely good stuff.
I just say it's green out here.
I consider my home from San Francisco Bay to just north of BC. I mean, you could go all the way to Alaska if you really wanted to get technical about the bioregion.
If you look at the geography, if you look at the coast there, you got that big slice of a bay at San Francisco, and then you got this big slice at the Olympic Peninsula.
Yep.
It's almost as if it were carved out for us.
Yep.
That's our spot.
It's
here you go, guys.
Culturally
from here
different.
To here, that's for you.
Isn't there like a giant fault line, across that?
Maybe if it were to fault just right and it islanded itself off from everything else.
Hey, maybe we, yeah. Yeah,
let's work that out.
That's the Mayan apocalypse. All right, so there you go.
That.
That's some Late Show with
that
David Letterman.
That was fantastic.
Letterman.
I love that we can talk
great.
About this on national television it's just a everyday thing.
And Seth was zinging, Letterman. So,
And Dave brings it up quite often. Like, that guy, once it's legal where he's at in New York, he's going to be
puffing. You know he will. But I think it's good, though, that he mentions asking if it's different than when you smoked it with Robin Williams in the 80s.
Yeah.
Because we are going to get these new tokers coming in with legalization, and we should, give them a heads up here.
Yeah, but public service announcements and warnings for potency.
I think we're going to have that. Like our friends at Diego Pellicer definitely aiming towards baby boomers and a more mellow high. And
That's the other thing legalization gives you, though, is that in the black market, you always want to have the most bang for the buck. You want to be the guy with the baddest-ass weed.
Right.
In a legal world, you can market to
you
that.
You can range in all different kinds of weed.
And I mean, there's going to be more people
who are
going to
want a daytime weed, for sure.
Yeah, I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I mean, there's people who want to be able to go to work, and still remain functional.
The Vicks DayQuil of weed. We'll get that figured out. All right, so we're going to take a little break here because you know how dry mouth happens. And when we come back, we got the last segment of 2012 here live on the Russ Belville Show. So stick around, and we're going to have ourselves a pretty good time, I can tell already. Be right back, everybody.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Celebrate him, our heritage, our future, June 3rd through 9th, 2013. Hemp is a renewable, sustainable resource used for thousands of products. Foods, body care, clothing, auto parts, building materials, textiles, plastic, and paper. Hemp is a part of America's heritage. Founding fathers George Washington and Thomas Jefferson grew hemp and advocated for its use. Farmers in Canada, Europe, and China are able to grow hemp and export it to the primary marketplace in the U.S. But for over 50 years, an outdated and misguided federal policy has prevented U.S. farmers from growing industrial hemp. It's time to bring hemp back for hemp healthy lifestyles. Hemp seeds are nearly perfect food source. High in digestible protein, healthy omega-3 and 6, no known allergens, gluten-free. It's time to bring back hemp for a healthy economy. Hemp products generate over $450 million in annual retail sales. But American farmers are excluded from supplying this thriving market. It's time to bring back hemp for a healthy planet. Hemp is a fast-growing crop that can be cultivated with sustainable farming methods. It's time to bring back hemp to America's farms. Hemp History Week, June 3rd through 9th, 2013. HempHistoryWeek.com.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Happy holidays and happy new year 2013, not 2012. Happy New Year 2013 coming up here, Russ. Well, it's Happy Holidays 2012, and it's Happy New Year 2013. So I got myself confused. But today, for the Radical Rant segment, no ranting. I've got nothing to rant about. Everything is good in this world. We've got marijuana legalized in two states now. We got 48 states to go. It's looking positive. You got lieutenant governors calling for marijuana legalization, sitting politicians calling for marijuana legalization. Things are really good, and we got good people here in the studio. So we're just going to open it up and have ourselves a ball, talk about 2013 and 2012, what went down. And I'm going to start with Calico over here, because homeboy Calico made a big splash in 2012, I think, with the whole Oregonians for Law Reform and everything you guys were doing there. We started, you know, coming into the campaign with, like, you know, 36% for marijuana legalization here in the state, and by the time you guys got done with it, it was up to like 47 when we got to the election. So kudos.
I appreciate it. You know, I certainly don't want to take all the credit. I mean, you know,
it was all you, Calico.
Me and Sam Chapman, obviously, we started the organization after we came back from HempFest and saw all of the big campaign that was revolving around I-502, so much of a campaign that there was a huge opposition to it. And I just thought that there was no conversation going on here in Oregon, and we decided that we could raise some money, and we managed to raise a little over $10,000. And, you know, I think we were able to get some billboards, some rally signs, and get in front of people. And I think we proved that, and I don't think this is the common wisdom for a lot of people, but I think that we proved that even given the wide-open bill that OCTA was, you know, the general public agrees that marijuana prohibition is a horrible policy, and they just want to vote to end it. And really what they needed was to, you know, get a campaign that was visible out in front of them. And I think that, you know, that's something that we were able to prove over a month and a half.
I think the best part, too, is just getting the run at the mechanics of campaigning.
Oh, sure. I mean, that was definitely a trial and error process. And, like, you know, when you even for an undergraduate degree in political science, you don't really learn how to run a campaign. You learn, you know, the book smarts type of stuff, the percentages and how to, like, you know, how to read data and how to research and that kind of stuff. But you don't learn how to run a campaign. It was certainly a lot of fun to learn on our feet how to write press releases, how to organize press conferences, you know what I mean, how to spend money. That was all in itself a pretty interesting, you know, thing, learning how much it was to run radio ads, television ads, billboards, and, you know, learning how to run a campaign on a shoestring budget, $10,000. So,
yeah, so
you know, definitely some good learning.
When we get the next ones going and we have more shoestrings.
Well, you know, and I think that also OCTA doing so well, Measure 80 doing so well, given what it was looking like in the beginning, pressured the Oregonian to go ahead and have that editorial the next day that said that the legislature needs to push for marijuana legalization. I really think that, you know, Oregon is going to be the next state to legalize. I mean, Rolling Stone put them at the top of their list of the next, 10 states to legalize. And, you know, I think that's really going to happen here in Oregon. I think we proved that, you know, it doesn't take a really large campaign to win. It just takes, you know, a smart campaign that's able to get in front of the voters and, you know, tell them what they already know. Marijuana prohibition isn't working, and it's time that we start getting some revenue for our states and reallocate our police resources.
Absolutely. You know, and then in one of my top five yesterday events that I did, I think my number three event was Ganja John winning the DAB Award, the Concentrates Award up there, the Cascadia Concentrates, first Cannabis Cup in Seattle. What a thrill. I mean, how things have changed since this time last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts. It's crazy the opportunity that you've given me going to all these cups and me learning to make better medicine by myself and eventually entering that cup. That was one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
And since that, and that was in, was it September?
September.
So in the
it's
4 months
right now.
4 months since that, all the changes, how things have changed for you.
I haven't stopped making hash oil, really.
Went to Amsterdam?
Went to Amsterdam and judged the Cannabis Cup, the 25th Cannabis Cup, which was the Founders Cup. They gave Steve Hager a big award there. It was a huge hallmark moment for High Times as a magazine. You know, they never thought when they were doing that they would go that long doing
right.
it. And the fact that they did it in Amsterdam after all the troubles they had last year and the problems with the government and it was an amazing process to go to especially especially someone who won a cup to go through how it was done to do the exact same thing that somebody did just a few months previous to me doing it and judging through all that stuff and it's crazy.
Let me give you the opportunity because you know you'll be. I read the internet. I live on the internet and see comment sections and all that kind of stuff where people will say, "Don't rig! All these cannabis cups are rigged. They're all rigged. It's all politics, man. It's all rigged."
The first thing that happened to me after we, like, I mean, it's probably 45 minutes after the ceremony in Amsterdam was over, I was getting messages from people who entered in the States.
Yeah.
Asking why I didn't pick theirs. And I had people there in Amsterdam asking why I didn't pick theirs or why they didn't win. And I mean, there's nothing I could really say to those people except I guess yours was shitty.
I mean, what can I say?
I can't hold back, especially when you put me in a corner like that. I mean, you know, it was an absolutely random blind, you know, judging. I mean, I was given numbers. Until the actual thing was announced, I didn't know the winner. And I know that previously in High Times Cups that Some of those, some of the judges had been told the winner in the past before the ceremony. I wasn't, so I didn't know until it was actually, you know, announced. One of the guys who entered five different times, and I felt like that was kind of shitty. Yeah. And I mean, if you want to, I mean, Wheezy's my buddy. I love him. You know, give me shit. I don't care, Wheezy. But it's, you know, I mean, if you want to dominate a cup, I mean, I could do that.
How many total entries are there?
I had 17 entries that I went through.
Okay, so and his was five of them?
Yeah, and he got first and third.
Yeah.
And the way that I actually set up my judging, it was a little bit different. I didn't have him as first and third.
Yeah.
So I had him as second and third. So, I mean, it's just the way she goes. I mean, there's nothing else I can say.
So there's no limit on how many entries you can put in?
I guess not. But I mean, that would be a complaint I would have.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I can see all sorts of angles on that.
But it was fair. He won because it was the best.
Yeah.
I mean, that was it. He didn't win because it was Wheezy's. I couldn't have told you that was Wheezy's oil ever. I could have never told you that.
Yeah.
In fact, I thought it was someone completely different. So, I mean, and I thought the second one was someone completely different. So it turns out completely different. But I mean, my year was, I mean, it wasn't just that. I got to do other insane things. And I mean, going to Bumbershoot up in Seattle,
yeah,
and hanging out with all these celebrities and working out deals for these people that I've been watching in movies since I was a kid to do shows in Portland. And you know, I mean, the places that pot has gotten me and the doors that it has opened is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
No doubt. There's a 2012 story for you. The ascension of Ganja John.
Yeah.
Getting shout-outs on the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah. I definitely have to thank Brian Posehn for making my year incredibly different than what I thought it was going to be. And thank his wife, Melissa. They're two of the most awesome people that I've ever... Oh, I'm going to fucking cry. They're two of the most awesome people that I've ever met in my life. And thank Doug Benson and Ron Funches especially for introducing me to all these people. Thank Jack Black and Nick Kroll and all those guys for being so nice to me and coming over to my home. And
yeah.
It's awesome. Been an amazing, amazing year. And thank you, Russ.
Hey.
For bringing a one-eyed guy who had nothing to do to run a board.
Hey, man, it's the Belleville Bounce. That's right.
What happens.
We're going to just keep on doing this. And you just keep – and it's if I may borrow from Mr. Magic Ellison, a.k.a. Henry Hemp, it's a bolt of positive energy.
It's a bope. It absolutely is a bolt of positive energy.
And that's the thing. And that's what we're going to keep doing in 2013. We're going to keep doing what we're doing here on the show. We're going to rebuild the network that we had before, going to be 420 Radio. So we got to 420radio.org and bringing back some of the old shows and doing some new stuff as well. Herb Thrasher's getting all sorts of ins with the music industry people. So we're going to have a really good time there. Timmy Harris, Big Daddy Fink, big thanks to him. 2012 wouldn't have been what it was without the funky roller rink and all these cool graphics we got going on here. Brian sitting in doing the Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. I've learned more about reggae than I could have ever known. I've actually found reggae I like.
Yeah, it's hard to do, huh? Hey, and I would give a shout out to Timmy Harris for getting his artwork picked for the High Times Cup in February.
Yeah,
I want to thank him for using my cup as the artwork for
the model.
That. Yeah,
that's
very
cool.
Nice.
There we go. Did you see it, Calico?
Yeah, I saw it. Yeah, no, that's, I'm real proud of Timmy. That's amazing.
That's my cup that he used as the model, and which makes me feel like good luck for entering LA, which I'm going to be doing.
Timmy entering LA. We'll be down there. We already got our booth secured, and nice. We'll be bringing live streaming coverage on our new remote crate.
Heck yeah.
And they will be there with a cannabis cup on their desk.
Right on, man. It'll be cool. And other great things for 2013. In March, we'll be in Atlanta, Georgia for the Southern Cannabis Conference, Reform Conference, I think is what they're calling it, bringing in people from all over the South there in Atlanta, Georgia. And then, of course, the next month will be April. It'll be 420 and
Denver.
Be rolling down the rails on that whole you know, April you got 420, May you got the Cannabis March, June you start festival season begins. It's going to be amazing.
And Hemp Awareness Week in June.
Hemp History Week in June. Festivals in July. Hey,
you know, something moving forward to 2013, you know, there was some talk about Patrick Leahy, who's in the Senate Judiciary Committee post, that he may have been stepping down to go to appropriations now that Dan Inouye has passed away from Hawaii.
Right.
But recent news just yesterday had said that he's not going to step down from his post and is going to remain on Judiciary Committee. So that's huge.
That's great
because,
for us.
Yes, it's huge for us because he's come out and has been pressuring the DOJ about what their response to Colorado and Washington is going to be. So, you know, that's huge to have, you know, a friend of ours in the Senate, especially on the Judiciary Committee. So that's huge for marijuana legalization moving forward in 2013.
Yeah,
so.
I think like we had said many times, you know, we thought that prohibition would be like the Berlin Wall. When it happened, it would happen fast and everybody would go, oh, my God. I think we're going to see some moves in 2013. A lot of things they're going to be able to do to be face-saving moves because they got to save face. They can't say, well, no, all right, marijuana's legal. But I think they'll do things like that. Let's make an exception for states kind of thing.
That bill that Diane DeGette and the other Colorado delegation has worked on is, I think that's got the best possibility of working its way through the Congress in 2013.
There's another big story that we've got in 2012, which was Brave Michaela. We have Brave Michaela. Her parents were on the show, and then she spoke about the meth girl billboards that Calico had a lot to do with in publicizing. And do you have information on this event for us here, Brian, so we can tell about it?
Well, it's just I saw this come through the wire earlier in the week, and it looks like there's going to be a roundtable discussion that's live this Saturday. It's apparently live every Saturday, but the discussion this week is cannabis versus cancer. And it's childhood cancer patients using cannabis oil. You know, and, you know, so people who, you know, have something to say about this, you know, maybe your life is affected. I know that Brave Michaela's parents are going to be phoning into this. The number is 626-414-3424, and it's at blogtalkradio.com/papsite-radio. That's PAP site dash radio at blogtalkradio.com. That's going to be this Saturday, and yeah, check it out if you got interest.
Got the like in there. We're going to share it. We'll get this all out on all the blogs, and you can click all that information. But yeah, anything we can do to help out Michaela and her family, because that's one of the big stories of 2012.
Yeah, I got a couple of my shirts to them, too. That was pretty cool that they wore those shirts while making the juicing video that's out there.
Oh, yeah. I saw that, the pink leaf shirts that they were using there.
And then they got a couple to send to some friends out in Alabama, so I hope they enjoy those out there.
All right, spreading the news here. Other things in 2012, some of the stories that went down here. We did a lot of events. This year I was in Texas three times. three separate months I was in Texas. I was in Houston in March. I was in San Antonio in April. And I was in Dallas in May. And that last trip to Dallas, I'll never forget, because we did the Global Marijuana March from the Dallas City Hall to Dealey Plaza, where, of course, you know, was the grassy knoll where, you know, Kennedy, that whole assassination went down. And to be there with a bullhorn, you know, yelling for marijuana legalization in Texas, passing joints back and to the left, back and to the left. It was just wonderful. I loved it. That was one of the memories I will always cherish.
Hey, I would give a shout out to Sean McAllister from Dallas Fort Worth Normal for winning the first off, getting Freedom Fighter of the Month for High Times and one of the issues.
Yes,
and then also winning that Normal Award for the Activism Award. I forget.
Oh, yeah.
Which one it was, but you know, big you know, big help. He's been to the marijuana movement, and you know, doing a lot of huge things out there in Texas. So shout out to Sean and all of the work he's doing out there with Will and all of the other people of Dallas Fort Worth Normal.
Yeah, and also, you know, Robert Platschorn, you know, the Silver Tour has made great strides this year. You know, that's there's a lot of big things that have been happening.
Made it on the Daily Show.
Made it on the Daily Show.
Yeah, that's just great. You know, the word is getting out there. People aren't afraid to start up the conversation, and, you know, you shouldn't be afraid either, you know.
There you go. It's time for New Year's resolutions. If you're listening to this show, there can be a New Year's resolution to you. You know, that's come out to somebody. Let them know that you're a marijuana consumer. There's less to be afraid of.
Even if it's just one person this year.
That's right. Yeah. Do it. You know, spread the word. Spread the good news. And Tell people to tune in here at RadicalRust.com and, coming in 2013, 420radio.org, the home of, that's our new network, Cannabis Community Radio, 420radio.org. You'll hear all of our shows. All of our shows will have their own blog, their own podcast feed. You'll be able to get all the information from Brian the Red's Red Eyes Reggae Flashback Show, too. All of them will be up there. Coming up, we have got an hour of Toker Talk Radio coming up next. And then we will continue on with Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink Christmas Edition, Merry Funkin' Christmas. Later tonight at 8 o'clock, a replay of Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, a special one where we got a call in from Jose Mangan from Sirius XM. And plenty more. It's pretty exciting. For Brian the Red, Wiz Calico, Ganjadon, I'm Radic Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you